Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I rise in this Honorable House to support I rise to support the policy shifts of this government as articulated so eloquently by the Honorable Prime Minister on Tuesday, May 8th, in his address on the Appropriation Bill 2012-2013. Mr. Speaker, as usual, I start by thanking God for health and thanking my people of Rosalie for reposing their confidence in me and giving me the opportunity to represent them in this Honorable House. I will always attempt to do this to the best of my ability. Mr. Speaker, all around us, on our television sets, on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, at the supermarket, in my constituency office, the discussion is the same. Things are tight. Things are brown. But I move it. I cannot pay my bill. I need a job. I need help with my child's education. My pension cannot meet my commitment. I cannot meet my medical bill. Mr. Speaker, the demands are many. The cries are deafening. And our people are anxious. And as I sit here and listen to the member for Patrick Southwest, trying to impress upon this Honorable House that the presentation by the Honorable Prime Minister and Minister for Finance, that things are not that bad, and that the situation does not warrant a shift in government policy. The question is, and I realize he is not now in the chamber, the situation is, and the question is he still a St. Lucia? Because he's more out of St. Lucia than in St. Lucia, and consequently cannot fully appreciate the situation on the ground and the pain that our people are experiencing. Mr. Speaker, internationally, in France, in Greece, in Spain, in Italy, throughout Europe, people are also anxious. They have taken to the streets to show their disgust with tight austerity measures imposed on them by the government, by other countries, and by international organizations. In France, they have gone further and changed the government of President Sarkozy, which embraced austerity measures, and replaced that government with a socialist government of President François Hollande. And that government is leaning more towards the adoption of growth measures and less on austerity. The discussion by the international experts on the BBC and CNN and others are also instructive. In my mind, Mr. Speaker, the discussion can be summarized thus. Can it be pure austerity or pure growth, or can we have a strategy where we marry the two? Mr. Speaker, each one of us here in this Honorable Chamber, every St. Lucian can associate with the aforementioned conditions and situation. And consequently, I want to refer to the statement by the Honorable Prime Minister, and I'm looking at page 10. And I'm quoting from that document at 4.1. We simply have to cure the fiscal deficit and do this quickly. We believe that this can be done by implementing growth-enhancing expenditure and tax reform measures. We need to ensure that whatever fiscal reform measures that are adopted do not compromise the prospects for growth. Hence, the enhancement of economic growth must form the main pillar of any fiscal reform measure. For whatever growth, correcting or unsustainable fiscal positions would be ever more difficult. End of quote. Mr. Speaker, I am an auditor by profession, and I bring this experience to everything that I do. And that is, I like showing the mirror. And it is for this reason that I applaud the Honorable Prime Minister in his presentation. He took significant time to outline the situation as this government inherited it. But one thing that he did, he took time not to assign blame. And I applaud him for this. Mr. Speaker, but contributions from two members opposite today somehow has not learned from that policy shift and sentiments of the Honorable Prime Minister. And I will refer to them later in my discussion. Mr. Speaker, my presentation today will be a conversation, a discussion, a call for reflection, a call for introspection, a call for clinical analysis, and then a call for metanoia, a call for change. Yes, Mr. Speaker, members of this Honorable House, especially members opposite, and our people of St. Lucia, need to recognize that as a country and as a people, in order for us to make progress, we need to have 180-degree turnaround. My conversation today is with two pillars of our society, Mr. Speaker, with our professionals, our housewives, our unemployed youth, our journalists and the media houses, the public servants, our business persons, and yes, the members of this Honorable House. And I believe that each one of us must ask that question. How have I contributed to the current state of my country? We can break this overarching question into other smaller questions, such as, have I put my professionalism aside and make key decisions along party lines or personal interests have taken precedence over national interests? Have I been subjective in my decision making? Have I made key decisions without empirical evidence and sound data? Have I encouraged persons and contractors to overcharge government for services rendered? Have I not given a full day's work for a full day's pay? Have I used my personal time and resources efficiently and effectively? Mr. Speaker, after each one of us have pondered, on this question, I suspect the next question would be, what must I do now to cause my country to be a better place today than it was yesterday? Mr. Speaker, I believe that we have to go through this reflection and ask ourselves those questions. Because unless we do so, the social and economic programs presented by the Honorable Prime Minister will not have the far-reaching effects and impact that it could have. The Honorable Prime Minister, in his budget address, speaks to the strategy of fiscal stability and growth based on a three-pronged approach to recovery. And as I listened to the Honorable Prime Minister, I saw a government that is ready and willing to face the mirror, a government candid enough to call a spade a spade, a government compassionate enough to deliver a suite of social programs that will touch the lives of the working men and women of St. Lucia. I see a government courageous enough to take some decisive measures that could get us out of the deep hole that we are in at present. I see a government bold enough to tackle the changes needed in the public sector, and I see a government that has reposed its faith in our private sector and willing to partner with them for the betterment of our country. Mr. Speaker, I believe that in order for us to know where we are going, we first must know where we are and understand why we got to where we are. Hence my call for reflection and introspection. As we stand today, the central government fiscal deficit is at $254.4 million, or 7.6% of GDP. Let us take a moment to analyze how we got to this position and then scrutinize our government's policies on how to get this country back to good health. Mr. Speaker, as we examine recurrent expenditure, I looked at and I picked up the trend for the past 5 years, which is 2007-2008, down to 2011-2012. And there we see an average growth in current revenue of 4.7%. As I did the same for current expenditure, we saw an average growth in current expenditure of 6.5%. Mr. Speaker, during these 5 years, the growth in expenditure, the growth rate in expenditure is 1.8% higher than the growth in current, in revenue. Mr. Speaker, we don't have to know mathematics to know that this situation is unsustainable. Mr. Speaker, I speak to the trend simply to point out that figures always speak the truth. it always presents a story. And in central Sudanese government, the responsibility to analyze the figures that are presented to us is that of our public managers. In this case, that responsibility falls on the Minister of Finance and the Ministry of Finance. None of us like taking medicine, Mr. Speaker. But when we are ill, we have to take some form of medication in order to get well. St. Lucia is fortunate at this time to have a Minister of Finance who has the courage to prepare us to take some medicine now, so that the problem, the ailment that we have, do not turn into a tumor and then a cancer. We have to compare, and I'm saying that again, because with my background as an auditor, there is something significant about decision making. It must be timely. If we take a decision, what we consider to be a right decision, at the wrong time, it is better we don't take it. We have seen figures which indicated to us that from 2009-2010, our current expenditure exceeded our current revenue. Yet, the last administration did not have the courage to take timely decisions. And that's the issue. Timely decisions. And that is why, Mr. Speaker, one of the measures presented by the Honorable Minister of Finance is the introduction of VAT. We've heard quite a bit about it. But from my perspective, I look at VAT as bringing efficiency to the tax system. Because, as you know, VAT is going to replace at least four pieces of legislation. It's going to replace consumption tax. It's going to replace motor vehicle rental fees. It's going to replace mobile cellular phone tax. It's going to replace environmental protection tax, the levy, sorry. We have also heard, Mr. Speaker, that with the introduction of VAT, the Prime Minister took quite a bit of time to tell us that some items will be more expensive and some items will be less expensive than they are now. And he gave us several examples. He gave us the example of deodorant, which is used by all of us, which now attracts 30% tax, which will now, with a VAT, will attract 15%. So this item will be cheaper. The Honorable Minister also outlined several other items that are tax neutral, especially as it relates to food. We heard of chicken, we heard of rice, we heard of sugar, we heard salt, we heard flour, and several others. Mr. Speaker, the 15% VAT rate, would bring St. Lucia at par with our other OECS countries of Antigua, Dominica, Grenada, St. Vincent. This would prepare us for the OECS Union, which comes into effect on 1st June 2003. Mr. Speaker, this is a government that is ensuring that the poor people, the unemployed, the single mother, our seniors, are not adversely affected with the introduction of VAT. And I will take some time to say that in Creole, Mr. Speaker. Le Premier ministre a présenté VAT. Premier ministre a continué tant pour dire nous l'année un chai produit si pakai papekoy affecté, pour y a pakai affecté par VAT. Par exemple, pour y apparaître tapé hausse par VAT. Par exemple, souliers, chemise l'école, uniforme l'école mamaï, sic, dit oui, par une pointe, l'huile, des, poudre, pampers, tout ce bagage là. Ça c'est un gouvernement, M. Speaker, ou quand ouais, ça c'est un gouvernement qui déjà assis. J'ai à comprendre problème malheureux, c'est ici. Ça, c'est un gouvernement qui a à comprendre situation. Ça, c'est un gouvernement qui comprend position malheureuse et qui a prend action pour protéger ma mère, c'est ici. This is a government of the people, for the people, by the people. So, Mr. Speaker, adding to this, we also heard our Honorable Prime Minister making provision for persons who are hypertensive to receive the hypertensive medication free of charge. Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister will determine the timing when this is going to come into effect. But what it shows, Mr. Speaker, again, is a government full of compassion. A government that is forward-thinking. By treating our hypertensive patients now, the government is saving on healthcare costs in the future. It is ensuring that we have healthy people who can work and take care of their families. It is also ensuring that we have people who can enjoy a high quality of life. Mr. Speaker, this is a good news for the people of Deramo, Asukanal, Foreign Guamuzia. In fact, this is good news for over 20,000 persons suffering with hypertension throughout St. Lucia. This is your government, the government of the St. Lucia Labour Party, a government who cares about you. And I will repeat that in Creole, Mr. Speaker. Premier ministre a fait un promet qui il a annoncé à l'air côté il a by mountain pressure il a essayé de garder pour bayo ou medio pour yo sa prend yo sa rester en bonne santé. Et puis, Mr. Speaker, nous savons, nous n'y plus passer 20 000 moun ti ka soufè epi maladi prèchè an se krisi. Ek, sa ka moun fè ankor premier ministre la, se an moun ti ni kopasyon. Epi an moun ti kopwan, si nou souwete se maladi sa la bonè, nou kwa yon peche se moun sa la swape lot pi maladi kon ale asou machin pou fete kidni yo apwe. Moun kwa sa se important paske nou pe chanje le gouvernement yon ade brokas pati a asou yon pouvoi epi yo jwen yo et si ya la yo pa fè dè bagay pou ende malere simplisi. Yo pa fè, ni fè a yo. Alors, mwen konsen jodi ya, nou poko sa fè tout sa nou ka yè fè, men nou vle dou, nou ka kachile, nou sav bagay wè de vekou, men nou vle wè se an bon santé. Minis, santé pita kay pale ba ou a tou les ot bagay gouvernement kay fè. Mais gouvernement sa la chak lè nou asil nou ni la pen nou a tou chè nou. Mr. Speaker, I will move from the issue of hypertension back to the issue of VAT and the role of my ministry. Mr. Speaker, my ministry, the Ministry of Commerce, Business Development, Investment and Consumer Affairs, will assist the VAT office in the whole implementation of VAT. We will do this through our small enterprise development unit, SEDU, by offering training in the use of VAT enabling software. In order to have a smooth implementation of VAT, we have agreed that an organized and coordinated series of activities are required to prepare the small business sector to make a successful transition to the VAT system. The business sector is our cherished client at the Ministry of Commerce. And for this reason, my ministry, through SEDU, is working as we speak to put a program together. The goal of the program is to ensure that the medium, small, and micro enterprise sector will be fully VAT compliant. The project deliverables are trained staff of small businesses, VAT-ready accounting systems, assistance to procure the software, and a plan of ongoing technical assistance after the software has been installed. Mr. Speaker, upon completion of the initial phases of the project, the small business sector would have a better understanding of the philosophy, application and impact on VAT, on their operations. In addition, the staff of the ministry will be trained by the VAT office to recognize how the ministry's processes and regulations will be impacted by VAT. The training for the small business sector will be conducted on evening to facilitate the business person. We have decided that we will be training at 6 venues, all equipped with computer labs, and locations will be in Grosile, Pastries, Denry, Viewfort, Soufre. The training will be free of charge. Mr. Speaker, the facilitators will be experienced private sector, accounting and management professionals. We appreciate that there are many brands of accounting software, but all should adhere to basic accounting standards. The VAT office and my ministry will choose appropriate accounting software for that project. The software will be distributed free of charge as I have indicated. The training will be monitored by my ministry and by the VAT office. Mr. Speaker, the benefits of that program, we would have a business sector that is VAT ready. We would have improved record keeping systems employed by our small businesses. We would have an enhanced database of small businesses at CEDU. We would have greater compliance with the VAT legislation. We would have improved government revenue. We would have technological upgrades of our small businesses, and we would have VAT-compliant regulations and processes in the Ministry of Commerce. It is estimated, Mr. Speaker, that all of this might cost us about $1 million. Mr. Speaker, this is a significant shift in government's approach to delivering services and partnering with the private sector. To you, our business owners, I need to remind you that you are not alone at this time. The government and the Ministry of Commerce, Business Development, Investment and Consumer Affairs, we are committed to working with you in having a smooth landing with the introduction of VAT. Mr. Speaker, my ministry is committed to continuous dialogue with our business sector, and I wish to thank the Honorable Prime Minister and Minister of Finance who allowed me to meet with the business community and the Consumer Association last Friday on the issue of VAT. We felt it was important to have that dialogue with them before the presentation in this Honorable House. And at that meeting, I met in the Chamber of Commerce, FLISBA, St. Lucia Manufacturers Association, St. Lucia Hotel and Tourism Association, the Bakers Association, and the National Consumers Association. Mr. Speaker, the dialogue was frank, and we are delivering on our commitment to working with that sector with the introduction of VAT. Mr. Speaker, again on the issue of VAT, the Ministry of Commerce has responsibility for monitoring the price of goods and services in this country. And the authority for this is the Distribution and Price of Goods Act No. 36 of 2006. The department, which is our Department of Consumer Affairs, is also responsible for promoting and protecting the interests of consumers. And this we will do under the Consumer Protection Act, which will be taken to Parliament later this year. With the introduction of VAT, we've heard we have quite a few items that are price controlled, and I will name a few, Mr. Speaker: baby formula, bread, cooking oil, canned tuna, mackerel, sardines, educational supplies, milk, peas, beans, and others. These items are price controlled, and they are also exempt from VAT. This means that VAT will not cause the prices of these items to increase. On the other hand, we have such items as agricultural inputs, such as seeds, pesticides, and animal feed. and fuel, which are zero rated. Again, Mr. Speaker, this means that the price of these items will not increase as a result of the introduction of VAT. However, we have some other items that are price controlled, such as Pondex, toothpaste, cement, which will attract VAT. Therefore, there is need for special costing arrangements. And the minister on my Department of Consumer Affairs is putting things in place to provide the relevant training to our business sector to ensure that they use the right formula. In addition, that department will work with the Statistics Department to provide support in the monitoring of prices prior to and after the implementation of VAT. The objective will be for us to track the price changes on the market and to take appropriate steps where we have infringement of the public rights. The department, along with the National Consumers Association, will also continue to monitor the environment to ensure that the interests of consumers are not adversely affected and that both economic groups continue to function within a fair trading environment. Mr. Speaker, my ministry is also engaging regional sister agencies on VAT-related issues and to learn from their experiences. This is a new area for all of us, and we will do all in our power to ensure a smooth transition to this new fiscal measure. Mr. Speaker, in addition to the VAT agenda, the Ministry of Commerce, Business Development, Consumer Affairs has a pivotal role to play along the private sector in the growth strategies outlined by the Honorable Prime Minister. And I'll refer there to page 14. And in page 13, Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister outlined the three-pronged strategy for economic turnaround, namely job creation, construction expansion, and fiscal consolidation. But in order to perform our task, Mr. Speaker, this means we too, that means government, must transform how we transact business. To this end, we are actively engaging the International Finance Corporation, a subsidiary of the World Bank, and others in the process of introspection. Much has been said about the ease of doing business reports and the drop in our ranking from 27th to 53rd. Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Prime Minister spoke about transforming the public service, and he mentioned this on page 59 of his presentation. And I speak, if you allow me to quote, Mr. Speaker, this financial year, our government will reset the focus on the modernization of the public service and on improving its level of service delivery. This will be done along several fronts. The first will involve the conduct of functional reviews of critical agencies to ensure that these ministries are properly aligned and configured and be able to deliver efficiently the several services that are part of their mandate. End of quote. Generally, the approach has been mainly for us to be reactive to the business climate. However, the dynamic economic landscape requires a shift in our mode of operation. A functional review of my ministry will facilitate a repositioning of the Ministry of Commerce to include, one, the incorporation of more diverse orientation and skill set. Two, an understanding of the mandate of the ministry and the need of all stakeholders. It will also ensure that the ministry is adequately configured to deliver efficiently and effectively quality services to our stakeholders. This will cause the ministry to become responsive and proactive in its approach to business and the private sector. Again, this is in line with my call, Mr. Speaker, for introspection. It is the time for my staff at the Ministry of Commerce. It is the time for the staff at the Customs Department. It is time for the staff at the other government departments to ask themselves the question, how are we going to serve our clients, the business sector, in a more efficient manner? As we continue this introspection and reflection, Mr. Speaker, we look at electronic transactions and how it impacts on our efficiency in doing business. Electronic transactions has long been identified as critical components of our doing business ranking. With the Ministry of Finance commitment and efforts to have this operationalized by November 1st, this will positively impact our global ranking in the 2014 Doing Business Indicators Report. Because if we had to impact the 2014 report, this would have to come into effect by the 1st of June, Mr. Speaker. So any gains after June would impact the 2014 report. Again, on the subject of doing business, I wish to state that this ease of doing business ranking is an important entry point for consideration of reform for the enabling environment for businesses. And the Ministry of Commerce is the focal point of government's efforts to improve St. Lucia's ranking. And then, Mr. Speaker, I want to thank the Prime Minister for taking the proactive step in appointing a 3-member team from the private sector to look at that report with us. The report assesses regulations affecting domestic firms in 183 economies and around the economies in 10 areas of business regulation, such as starting a business, resolving inconsistencies, getting electricity connections, registering properties, dealing with construction permits, getting credit, enforcing contracts, paying taxes, and trading across borders. The IFC has cautioned that the Doing Business Index is not comprehensive, and improvements in the business climate typically requires a broader agenda of reform. Notwithstanding, I must stress the importance of collaboration among public and private sector agencies for priority treatment of this benchmark exercise, Mr. Speaker. They are all intended to improve the way in which business is conducted in St. Lucia by providing a framework to monitor our performance and build our profile for investment. Consequently, I look forward this ensuing year to work with key stakeholders such as the Chamber of Commerce, Manufacturers Association, the Ministry of Finance, and others to build a framework that is acceptable to all.
Honourable Member, you have 15 minutes remaining to conclude your contribution.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, directly related to the Doing Business Indicators is the establishment of the Commercial Court. The report indicated that it takes 2 years or 635 days and 47 procedures for a commercial dispute to go through the courts in St. Lucia, Mr. Speaker. And for this reason, I applaud the decision by the Honorable Prime Minister to establish a commercial court in St. Lucia. Mr. Speaker, I will speak a bit on standards for an export delivery and support to our private sector. Mr. Speaker, we need to be strategic in our approach to private sector development. Beyond the policy measures outlined by the Honorable Prime Minister in his address, together with the Ministry, the Bureau of Standards, the OPSR, and the TIPA, have a comprehensive suite of programs to help our companies build capacity and to improve their competitiveness to expand and become more export-driven. Mr. Speaker, I want to take this opportunity to thank the director and staff of the OPSR and the TIPA for their enthusiasm to bring in this project to fruition. Mr. Speaker, my ministry stands ready to actively participate in the implementation of the various social and economic programs outlined by the Honorable Prime Minister. We heard of NICE, we heard SMILES, we heard of the Youth Empowerment Program, and we heard of the Small Business Targeted Program. My ministry has full responsibility for the Small Business Targeted Program and would also have to work with the relevant ministries to implement the other programs. Mr. Speaker, I am pleased to announce that based on the level of proposals and inquiries received thus far, investor confidence in St. Lucia is rising. Mr. Speaker, there is a silver lining ahead of us. I am happy to report that in April, St. Lucia, through the National Development Corporation, signed a memorandum of understanding with a company to be headquartered in St. Lucia. The total estimated investment, Mr. Speaker, is EC 450 million, with potential jobs of 125 at the beginning, growing to 300 employees, Mr. Speaker. The company expects to start operation in St. Lucia in early August. Mr. Speaker, better days are here. Mr. Speaker, we promise better days, and this is just the beginning. If we work diligently to implement the various programs and policies outlined in this budget, with God's help, I am confident better days will remain with us for a long time. But Mr. Speaker, the Prime Minister spoke about the situation of the Bwadawash Hypermart on page 37 of his presentation. And I was a bit disappointed by the contribution of the Honorable Member of Miku South. And I quote and I paraphrase what he said, there are other deals that have cost government twice its amount, like the Blue Coral building. Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Member is a senior member of this Honorable House. He's an educator. And that's what he's talking about. When I heard him, I felt more convinced that my call for introspection is well placed. Because that's not what the people of St. Lucia want to hear from members opposite. We are being told that approximately $93 million is needed on this building. And instead of us discussing it and saying how best to deal with it, we try to justify our poor management. And you know what is disappointing more than anything else, Mrs. Speaker? When the government of the United Workers Party, based on information, seems to have had information that would have caused them to reverse that decision, and they didn't. And that is irresponsible management. And that is what we have to learn from and try to change. People make errors, but we must question all the time when we make decisions that are not in the interest of the people of St. Lucia. And you must not come here and try to defend us. I also want to comment on the comments made by the Minister for the Member, Honorable Member for Castries South East. Again, Mr. Speaker, first, the member tried to inform this Honorable House that the fiscal position of this country is not great. But, Mr. Speaker, one thing we should try to do as individuals, we should remain in our area of competence. We should remain in our area of competence. Stay in your section. Mr. Speaker, the Honorable Member might not be feeling the pinch. He might not be feeling the pinch. But the people of St. Lucia are feeling the pinch. And as a people and as a government, we need to take steps to prevent or stop this slippery slope that we are on. Secondly, the Honorable Member again attempted to mislead this Honorable House, and by extension the people of St. Lucia, when he indicated that there is no duty on cement and steel, and these items do not attract duty. I had to feel that this Honorable Member would come into this Honorable House without doing his research. Again. Not doing his research before coming to this Honorable House. You know. But I want to inform this Honorable House that only at the 44th quartet meeting held in Guyana, that St. Lucia made representation for the CET to be removed on building material so that our people are eased. And I am happy to report this to this Honorable House that the quartet accepted this recommendation. And the CET is removed on building material. And shortly we will operationalize this. This is your government working for you.
Honourable Member, you have 5 minutes left to conclude your contribution.
Mr. Speaker, there are several other policy pronouncements by the Honourable Prime Minister that have implications for my constituency of Groseilliers. One, for example, the change in the method of house tax assessment. Two, the construction of the North-South Highway from Groseilliers to Denring. And three, the construction stimulus package and reducing the financing cost of construction. Mr. Speaker, all of these would have implications for my constituency of Groseilliers. I'm happy that the Honorable Minister of Finance has indicated that some of the taxes raised in terms of the property taxes will be used to provide services in the respective constituencies. So my people of Kapa State, Rodney Bay, Corinth, Astuconal must be happy, because that is good news. They will receive government services now. They will be paying the taxes, and they will receive government services. Mr. Speaker, the report, the presentation of our Honorable Prime Minister, the strategies presented, gives me much hope. And that is why today, Mr. Speaker, I am in such bright green. There is significant growth and hope in this. Mr. Speaker, I end my contribution today by repeating my earlier call for introspection by each one of us and our need to turn around, our need to embrace metanoia. I'm ending by reminding our people that we have a good mix of social and economic programs presented by the Honorable Prime Minister, and that we need to embrace it for better days. And I'm ending by calling on all institutions to work together for the benefit of us all. May God bless Sandusha. May God bless the people of my Groseilliers constituency. I thank you.
The Honorable Member for Groseilliers and Minister for Commerce, Business,